When we started, we had no idea what we were going to play. So today's session is called Multicultural Music and Healing. And before we get to that, I'd like to introduce Karen Jacobs Moitoza to you. Karen is an incredible human being to me. She's a cross between a saint and a sprite. Karen was trained in music at Peabody Institute in Baltimore, and also when she got tired of Peabody Institute and, and felt it was time for her to change coasts, she went clear across the country to San Francisco Conservatory. And oddly enough, she was trained as a classical musician originally, and then started hanging out in jazz dives in the Bay Area. And one day she was in her apartment, and jazz master Art Landy came to her door and said, Woody Shaw, came to her door. Woody Shaw came to her door and said, I want to teach you how to play jazz. And started a long career of her playing as a poor musician in all these jazz dives that she'd been haunting in the Bay Area and practicing jazz exercises for 8 hours a day, just holing up in her garret apartment, starving and playing jazz music. And it's produced a fantastic musician, and it's a real honor for me to play with her and to perform for you here with her. Now in Seattle, Karin teaches, she performs, she's a recording artist, she's appeared on at least two albums that I know of, one called The Quest, along with a number of other eminent artists, and one called The Elements, which she did with me. And that's the concert that we're going to be doing tomorrow night. She plays at churches, she plays concerts, she plays with a group called Flight with Tanya Ferris, a wonderful vocalist who's nationally known, and Tor Dietrichson, who's a fantastic percussionist, and with her husband, Rob Mortosa, who is right over here. Rob's a great bass player and producer and recording engineer. So, I just wanted you to know something about Karin, because she's just a wonderful person. She's a mother of two beautiful and very trying boys, which is why I think that she's a saint with what she goes through with her 6 and 11 and a half year olds. Okay, no further ado, let's go on with multicultural music and healing. And today I got off the bus, and Jackie Brolsma, who is the person who's responsible for bringing us here this week, said, you're doing a workshop, and it's going to be at 4 o'clock, and it's going to be called Multicultural Music and Healing. I said, where'd you get that title from? She said, you gave it to me. And I figured I must have been high on sugar or something when I gave her that title, because I had no idea what that means. But it's very embarrassing to come into a place and give a workshop on what you don't know what you're talking about. But as I thought about it this afternoon, I thought, well, gee, there is a lot to say about multicultural music and healing. My bailiwick right now is music and healing. I'm director of an organization called the Mission for Music and Healing, and Karin is one of the musicians who's part of that mission, along with about 25 others in Seattle, Bellingham now, Missoula, Montana now, and in Bend, Oregon. We play music in hospitals. We go from room to room and play for cancer patients in a number of hospitals in our Seattle area, and that's going to start up in those other areas this coming fall. We also play at nursing homes, at churches for services. We play at special events like peace and justice events, and also give concerts. So music and healing is sort of something I've immersed myself in over the last couple of years. And the multicultural, you know, the aspect of healing, how does music serve to be healing? Well, to me, healing means anything that promotes emotional, physical, spiritual, or mental health. And I think that music can do all of that. There is a body of literature that's coming to the fore today that talks about the physical effects that music has on people who are ill and people who are healthy, and some of the beneficial as well as detrimental uses of music in physical culture. And as I was thinking about it this afternoon, I was thinking about an experience that I had, which started me on this music and healing kick. I was touring with a women's Balkan singing group in Winnipeg, in Canada, and we went from the Winnipeg to the Vancouver folk festivals and then toured down through California. When we were in Winnipeg, I was in my starving musician mode, and I was playing my flute, in restaurants and malls for meals and tips, and just, you know, getting the practice back playing again after 8 years of not having touched the flute. So in Winnipeg, I went from restaurant to restaurant, got rejected in restaurant after restaurant. I was sick. I had the flu. Sick as a dog, walking around Winnipeg in the middle of the summer. It was hot and kind of muggy. And I got to this one restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant took one look at me, and she said, "You look like you don't feel very well, and like you're really tired." I said, "Yeah, you're right." And she invited me to come to her home and to rest for a while, because at the site of the folk festival, we were staying in tents in the mud. It wasn't a very conducive atmosphere to recover from the flu. So I went to her apartment, and she had at the time two teenage children. And they laid me down on the couch, and they said, let us put some music on for you. And I thought, oh my gosh, these teenagers are going to put on this music, right? And I'll never get any sleep, never get any rest, but I'm a guest, I'm sick, at least I'm lying down. And they put on some of the most gorgeous music I've ever heard in my life. It was like music from heaven. It was called The Renaissance of the Celtic Harp by Alan Stivell. Harp music with some nature sounds and with some other orchestration put into it. I fell into a deep sleep. When I woke up, I had no more flu symptoms at all. So that sold me on the healing power of music, and I determined to try and direct my musicality towards doing healing. There's a group in Port Townsend called, I think it's called the Institute for Healing and Music, the study of healing and music, and they study the effects of classical music on human beings mentally and physically and emotionally, and they've come up with programs and programs of classical music that they believe is healing to people, and which people have found to be very health-giving to them. Also, there's a neat story that I know about plainsong chant. There, in France, there were a group of monks who gave up plainsong chanting of their prayers at every office of the day when Vatican II came in. And they began to get ill. They also stopped getting up early and stopped doing all the physical labor that they had done in the previous years, previous centuries, I should say. And experts came in to work with these fellows who were getting iller, more and more ill. And they finally found that when they put the music back into their prayers, their health began to improve. So again, this plain song chant seems to be health-giving. It's said to be loaded with the kinds of notes, the particular notes that these men were singing are thought to be health-giving notes, interestingly enough. I myself find sitar music, Indian music, to be very relaxing and spiritually healing for me. I can go inside and meditate, or I can fall asleep, either one, to sitar music. The shakuhachi is an instrument that's it's from Japan. It's a meditation flute, and it's been used to help people center and relax for centuries now. Native American drumming is another form of, and chanting is another form of music that is meant to be, designed to be, spiritually uplifting and healing to the body and the soul. For me, Brazilian music, almost of any kind, is very uplifting and stimulating. Also funk. If it weren't for funk, you know, American black music, soul music, I would think that I don't like to dance, because there's no other music that I like to dance to. And then when I hear that music, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I feel like I want to get up and dance. You know, I got ants in my pants and I got to dance and stuff. So that's another kind of music that can be thought to be uplifting, gets you up out of your seat. Gospel music, like the Total Experience Choir, if any of you are going to be staying over the weekend to hear the Total Experience Choir, can lift you up through the ceiling. you know, not just physically and emotionally, but also spiritually and mentally. It's amazing what gospel music can do. And there's another genre of music, New Thought music, and then a related genre, New Age music, that is specifically made to be spiritually healing and physically healing as well. The Elements Concert is a mixture of a number of different genres of music. Its intent is to uplift people spiritually, but also to relax and to allow a meditative space. It's nature sounds, which are always calming and meditative for me, combined with meditation music played on synthesizer by Karin and flute by me, woven into the nature sounds. So it's another kind of music that's meant to be healing. So the Elements Concert is made up of improvised music. When we start playing, we have a general idea of where we're going. We have some general themes and rhythms worked out, but it's different every single time that we play it. Improvisation is another kind of spiritual practice to me. And today we're going to experiment with improvisation, because I really believe in experiential workshops, not just intellectual workshops. So improvisation can be a spiritual experience. It can be meditative. It's something that you can do when you're very relaxed and very centered, and you can allow spirit to be expressed through yourself. One can allow that to be expressed through oneself in improvisation. It's something that you cannot plan. It's something where there's no right and wrong. It's something that's perhaps an answer to the question, who am I spiritually? Who am I as a musician? Who am I as a person? It's very revealing. It answers that question for the moment only, which is where we experience spirit in the moment. There's no way to grab onto spirit forever and ever and to pin it down to one particular definition. And so it's the same with improvisation. It's always different, always changing. Improvisation can also help to heal musical wounds. I had a flute teacher with whom I was always at loggerheads, Mr. Grass. In fact, he was my first flute teacher, and he played for the Boston Pops and would teach at Tanglewood every now and again, and is a fine flute player, and I learned a lot from him. 1 year after I hadn't been playing flute for those 8 years that I mentioned, James Galway came to Seattle and gave a master class, and Mr. Grass came all the way from Boston, where I had known him, to this master class, and I hadn't seen him for probably 12 years or so. We sat through the master class together. It was a lot of fun, even though, you know, we had this history of being at loggerheads with one another. Well, James Galway gave a concert and played through several different kinds of classical pieces, from Baroque to almost avant-garde. And at the end of the concert, Mr. Grass asked me, well, what did you think of that concert? What do you think of Galway? And I said, I really love the way he plays more contemporary music, but I don't prefer his tone or style on Baroque music. And Mr. Grass's face became clouded and stormy, and he got red in the face. He said, I think there ought to be a law against people who play like you having anything negative to say about people like Galway. At which point I crumpled in a heap on the floor and melted into the carpet, never to be seen again. I mean, that was really a big blow to my musicality. I was just getting back into playing, and it was awful. But through improvisation with friends, with very patient friends, I came to heal that wound. And many of the musical wounds that I've carried over the course of my life. And I think, I mean, how many people here are musicians, have
any kind of musical stuff that they do.
Yeah, okay. And how many people here would like to be musical?
Like to play an instrument.
Yeah. And that's a musical wound, you know? That's a wound right there. There are so many people that I've met who were told as children, you've got a 10-year, or why don't you just hum when the rest of the choir sings?
I
think I've hit a nerve.
I couldn't even hum.
Yeah, some people are told to mouth the words. Don't say anything, just mouth the words. Yeah. And that's a musical wound. And I believe that there is no such thing as a person who cannot sing, who cannot learn to sing, who doesn't have a musical sense at all. And we're going to prove that here today. So, what I'd like to do is ask people to move forward in a little bit closer. Yeah, you're in. That's fine. You're fine. You're great. And yeah, just fill in the chairs here, please, because we're going to have to pass a rhythm instrument around. Yeah, what about you people upstairs? Are you going to stay in the crow's nest or are you going to come down? Yeah, you can come down if you'd like to participate. You know those socks? That's intimate. I know those socks.
Did you see them?
Great, all right. An intrepid soul from the top. Okay, what I'd like to do is set up a rhythm. We're gonna first do a rhythm improvisation, and then we're going to do an invitational vocal improvisation. This is a chance for those of you who think you have a tin ear to just try to utter music. And then we're going to do some clearing, some body clearing, singing some of those musical notes that are helpful. Okay, so this first one is a rhythm improvisation. What I'd like to do, well, let me just explain what we're going to do. We're going to start with just a basic hand clap rhythm, right? And everybody's going to clap, and I'll demonstrate first. But what we're going to do is each of us is going to have a turn with this set of rhythm instruments to do a personal improvisation, something that happens to come out at the moment for us to do with this particular set of rhythm instruments. And there's a lot of different things you can do with these two things, you know. So, okay, do people understand what we're gonna do? We're gonna clap, and everybody else is gonna be clapping, but each one of us is gonna have a chance to do a solo on this rhythm instrument. Okay, are we ready? Ready? Okay, anybody not ready? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Let's go. Let's just do a simple. Okay, now you keep the beat. I'm going to do my solo. Stressful for me because I'm partially a psychotherapist and I thought we should stop the whole thing and deal with their issues. So, you know, anybody, if you feel feelings coming up, I invite you to come and talk to me while I'm here. You know, we can set up a private appointment. I'm accustomed to this. No, but seriously, you know, if there's anybody here that has any musical wounds that they want to talk about and work on, I'm available for that. So, you know, please feel free. So, the Vocal Improv is invitational, and if you feel like you just cannot handle it, you don't have to sing. If you feel like you don't feel like singing, you don't have to sing. If you feel like you want to try it, please come jump in. What we're going to do is we're all going to set up a drone for all of ourselves to take a solo. And the drone is going to have to be kind of soft, because not all of us are operatic singers. So we're going to have to be kind of soft so everyone can be heard. And why don't you give us the two notes from Earth? Are you a one? Yeah. So those are our two notes. You can take your pick. Mouth open. Lovely. That's lovely. Okay, let's keep it at that level, nice and quiet. Tomorrow night you're going to be asked to belt it out, because we really need your voices for tomorrow when we use these two notes. But right now we need to be kind of gentle so everybody can be heard at their day in the musical sun. Okay, so let's start our drone. Karen, would you start? Would you mind starting?
Do what?
Do a vocal improv.
Oh, musical.
Vocal improv, you can do, you know, body rhythm on your body. You know, if you want to do that, but try and get some vocal something in there during the course of your solo. Thank you. The brain, the only way to massage the brain is through singing. I learned that very recently at a New Thought Music conference where one of those music and healing experts was on a panel, and he was talking about how if you massage your head, it doesn't massage the brain. And if you jog, it sloshes your brain around and jars your brain. But through singing, there's a gentle vibration that goes through your brain and massages your brain. So, anybody feel kind of calm after that exercise? Relaxed? Yeah, good. Okay, the final thing that we're going to do today is clearing exercise. And we're going to intone notes, and I'll improvise a little bit. Kara's going to play with those notes, and I'll improvise some. And you're welcome to join in the improvisation vocally and continue to massage your brain. And so we're going to go through seven notes, and those correspond to the scale, and kind of move up the body, clearing the body that they correspond to. Okay, so the first note is C. Thank you. Today we're going to experiment with improvisation because I really believe in experiential workshops, not just intellectual workshops. So improvisation can be a spiritual experience. It can be meditative. It's something that you can do when you're very relaxed and very centered, and you can allow spirit to be expressed through yourself. One can allow that to be expressed through oneself in improvisation. It's something that you cannot plan. It's something where there's no right and wrong. It's something that's perhaps an answer to the question, who am I spiritually? Who am I as a musician? Who am I as a person? It's very revealing. It answers that question for the moment only, which is where we experience spirit in the moment. There's no way to grab onto spirit forever and ever and to pin it down to one particular definition. And so it's the same with improvisation. It's always different, always changing. Improvisation can also help to heal musical wounds. I had a flute teacher with whom I was always at loggerheads, Mr. Grass. In fact, he was my first flute teacher, and he played for the Boston Pops and would teach at Tanglewood every now and again, and is a fine flute player, and I learned a lot from him. 1 year after I hadn't been playing flute for those 8 years that I mentioned, James Galway came to Seattle and gave a master class. And Mr. Grass came all the way from Boston, where I had known him, to this master class. And I hadn't seen him for, probably 12 years or so. We sat through the master class together. It was a lot of fun, even though, we had this history of being at loggerheads with one another. Well, James Galway gave a concert and played through several different kinds of classical pieces, from Baroque to almost avant-garde. And at the end of the concert, Mr. Grass asked me, what did you think of that concert? What did you think of Galway? And I said, I really love the way he plays more contemporary music, but I don't prefer his tone or style on Baroque music. And Mr. Grass's face became clouded and stormy, and he got red in the face. He said, I think there ought to be a law against people who play like you having anything negative to say about people like Galway. At which point I crumpled in a heap on the floor and melted into the carpet, never to be seen again. I mean, that was really a big blow to my musicality. I was just getting back into playing, and it was awful. But through improvisation, with friends, with very patient friends, I came to heal that wound. And many of the musical wounds that I've carried over the course of my life. And I think, how many people here are musicians, have any kind of musical stuff that they do? Yeah, okay. And how many people here would like to be musical? Like to play an instrument. Yeah. And that's a musical wound, That's a wound right there. There are so many people that I've met who were told as children, you've got a 10-year, or why don't you just hum when the rest of the choir sings? I think I've hit a nerve.
I couldn't even hum.
Yeah, some people are told to mouth the words. Don't say anything, just mouth the words. Yeah. And that's a musical wound. And I believe that there is no such thing as a person who cannot sing, who cannot learn to sing, who doesn't have a musical sense at all. And we're going to prove that here today. So, what I'd like to do is ask people to move forward in a little bit closer. Yeah, you're in. That's fine. You're fine. You're great. And yeah, just fill in the chairs here, please, because we're going to have to pass a rhythm instrument around. Yeah. Yeah, what about you people upstairs? Are you going to stay in the crow's nest or are you going to come down? Yeah, you can come down if you'd like to participate.
I recognize those socks.
You know those socks? That's intimate. I know those socks.
Did you see them?
Great, all right. An intrepid soul from the top. Okay, what I'd like to do is set up a rhythm. We're gonna first do a rhythm improvisation, and then we're going to do an invitational vocal improvisation. This is a chance for those of you who think you have a tin ear to just try to utter music. And then we're going to do some clearing, some body clearing, singing some of those musical notes that are healthy. Okay, so this first one is a rhythm improvisation. What I'd like to do, well, let me just explain what we're going to do. We're going to start with just a basic hand clap rhythm, right? And everybody's going to clap, and I'll demonstrate first. But what we're going to do is each of us is going to have a turn with this set of rhythm instruments to do a personal improvisation. Something that happens to come out at the moment for us to do with this particular set of rhythm instruments. And there's a lot of different things you can do with these two things, you know. So, okay, do people understand what we're going to do? We're going to clap, and everybody else is going to be clapping, but each one of us is going to have a chance to do a solo on this rhythm instrument. Okay, are we ready? Ready? Okay, anybody not ready? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Let's go. Let's just do a simple. Okay, now you keep the beat. I'm going to do my solo. Sing before, you know, and it was very stressful for me because I'm partially a psychotherapist, and I thought we should stop the whole thing and deal with their issues. So, you know, anybody, if you feel feelings coming up, I invite you to come and talk to me while I'm here. You know, we can set up a private appointment. I'm accustomed to this. No, but seriously, you know, if there's anybody here that has any musical wounds that they want to talk about and work on, I'm available for that. So, you know, please feel free. So, the vocal improv is invitational, and if you feel like you just cannot handle it, you don't have to sing. If you feel like you don't feel like singing, you don't have to sing. If you feel like you want to try it, please come jump in. What we're going to do is we're all going to set up a drone for all of ourselves to take a solo. And the drone is going to have to be kind of soft because not all of us are operatic singers. So we're going to have to be kind of soft so everyone can be heard. And why don't you give us the two notes from Earth? Are you a one, two, three? Yeah. So those are our two notes. You can take your pick. Mouth open. Lovely. That's lovely. Okay, let's keep it at that level, nice and quiet. Tomorrow night, you're going to be asked to belt it out because we really need your voices for tomorrow when we use these two notes. But right now, we need to be kind of gentle. Everybody can be heard at their day in the musical sun. Okay, so let's start our drone. Karen, would you start? Would you mind starting?
Do what?
Do a vocal improv.
Oh, have a musical.
Vocal improv, you can do, you know, body rhythm on your body, you know, if you want to do that. But try and get some vocal something in there during the course of your song. Thank you.
The only way to massage the brain is through singing. I learned that very recently at a New Thought Music conference where one of those music and healing experts was on a panel, and he was talking about how if you massage your head, it doesn't massage the brain, and if you jog, it sloshes your brain around, it jars your brain, but through singing, there's a gentle vibration that goes through your brain and massages your brain. So, does anybody feel kind of calm after that exercise? Mm-hmm. Relaxed? Yeah, good. Okay, the final thing that we're going to do today is a clearing exercise. And we're going to intone notes, and I'll improvise a little bit. Kara's going to play with those notes, and I'll improvise some. And you're welcome to join in the improvisation vocally and continue to massage your brain. And so we're going to go through seven notes, and those correspond to the scale. And kind of move up the body, clearing the body. So, the first note is C.
Thank you. Thank you.
sort of at your brow, as if the note could come all the way up from the bottoms of your feet and come out of your brow.
Thank you.